Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin Cowherd. Woohoo! Cowherd on vacation. Gottlieb in and, hey, look what fell up on my desk. College hoops to talk about. You know my least favorite mock holiday is, right? April Fool's Day. Is there anything dumber on earth than an April Fool's joke? Like, listen, this is my take on... last night I got the offer from my my son. He's like, Dad, movie theaters are open. Godzilla, King Kong, let's go! He was like, Tom Brady, let's go! And one of my daughters, Grace, says, lizard versus the ape. No, thank you. It's like, wow, you're kind of like, and we're just, we were hard selling her. We're like, look, movie theaters haven't been open in a year. You know, you guys like The Meg, which is a similar, like really hard to believe thriller, but you know, it's a blockbuster type film. I'm sure it's a good watch. You know, as long as you have to disconnect from reality, right? If you disconnect from reality, it's like, no, I'll watch the Transformers. But I won't watch, because that has some sort of reality as opposed to King Kong versus Godzilla. Anyway, we're like, you know, get back in the movie theaters, movie theater popcorn. She's just like, that sounds like a super spreader event. I was like, really? We do have one Major League Baseball game, which has been, what, postponed, canceled, whatever, because of COVID. We do have a ton of other stories to get to. Lance Zierlein's going to join us upcoming in 20 minutes. He's got his newest mock draft out. Brandon Whedon's going to join us. Nick Swisher, who makes coffee nervous, is going to join us, talk about Major League Baseball. And Shaka Smart, who left Texas to take the Marquette job. Texas, by the way, is reportedly going to hire Chris Beard, who once upon a time was at Texas as a student and as a I think his manager or whatever under Tom Penner's back in the day. So he leaves Texas Tech. The buyout went down today to $4 million. It's only $4 million in Texas, right? And they remember, they didn't have to pay Shaka Smart to leave. So whatever. It works. Chris Beard moves over. We got a lot to talk about with some college basketball. I will point out, though, in regards to April Fool's, this is a lot like we had this discussion with my kids last night. I don't like horror movies. I will never pay money to see a horror movie, something that terrifies me. I have enough things that bring me to fear in my normal life. I don't need to pay money for somebody to scare the crap out of me. No thanks. The same works with April Fool's. It preys upon, one, the idea of believing people, of being gullible. Do you know they took the word gullible out of the dictionary? Really? Yeah. But two, it preys upon fear. I won't do it. So everything that we are going to talk about and report about and decipher today, we believe is 100% real. But I do not like April Fools because I don't get the idea of playing up on somebody's emotions or somebody's ability to believe you, right? Like, you've earned all this equity with being believable. Now you're just going to throw it out the window because it's April 1st. I don't get that one. Sorry. That's just me. Yeah, that's right. I'm an April Fool's joke sort of guy, right? Pro Halloween, love Halloween. Pro Thanksgiving, love Thanksgiving. Valentine's, I could take it or leave it. I mean, part of it was when I was a kid, everybody had to get a Valentine's card, right? And I'll never forget, I got one that says, I love dog. There's a U, or maybe not, I don't know. But definitely anti April Fool's jokes. Not an April Fool's joke. And when it came down, this is the problem with April Fool's. It's like, Roy Williams is going to retire. Not April Fool's. Come on. No. They're going to have a press conference. Like, I see. He's going to retire. April Fool's. No. Roy Williams is a 903 wins. He's had knee surgeries. He's lost his best friend. He's had his own episodes with vertigo. The college landscape is changing. It's not fun for Carolina to have to recruit out of the transfer portal. Like, that's just not how they roll, right? This is not how they roll in Tobacco Hill. They go out and go like, hey, we want 1, 2, 3, you guys, come. Like, the college sport is becoming really, really hard because everything is changing. Not just with the Supreme Court thing yesterday, but the G League Select deal, the transfer portal, the whole thing is a mess. And Roy Williams is like, you know, I'm good. So here's what I can do that no other radio host can do. You ready for it? I can tell you what he was really like to be recruited sort of by, to play against, to experience as a broadcaster, how you should actually recall Roy Williams, who did it, by anyone's account, an amazing job at North Carolina, right? I mean, they won, what, 3 national championships? Which, of course, put him ahead of his mentor, Dean Smith. Here's a guy uniquely never played, wasn't a basketball player, was a manager in college, became, you know, an assistant, worked his way up the chain, was a high school coach for like a year, was basically a manager, became assistant coach, and like this, his path will, I don't believe, will ever be repeated. He went from being an assistant coach at North Carolina, one of, if not the preeminent program in the country at the time, to the head coach at Kansas. I mean, think about that for a second now. Think about that for a second now. Imagine for a second. I mean, Texas is open. Do you think they would have hired an assistant coach who had never coached before? North Carolina is open. Do you think they'd hire an assistant coach who has never been a head coach before? Who has never, didn't play? And he won. I mean, he's, what, 1 losing season, and that was not this year, last year at North Carolina. He won 80% of his games at Kansas, and people were still, I'm like, well, you know, you win a national title. Like, bro, he won 80% of his games. Then he goes to Carolina, and he wins 75% of his games and 3 national titles. You want to know the crazy part? Not really a great game coach. Not really a great game coach. Not a bad, like, they won because they had great players. They played fast, you know, and he wouldn't browbeat them about defense early, and they would get progressively better. So he never lost his team. What happens in basketball, especially college basketball, is you lose a guy here or there mentally and emotionally because they get in the doghouse or whatever. He played a lot of guys oftentimes, so he wouldn't lose his team mentally, emotionally once they got to February and March. But in terms of actual game coach, you know, his most talented team in Kansas, they lost to Rhode Island. And it's, I played against them when they had Rafe LaFrance and Paul Pierce. And this is the story I tell everybody all the time. Now, I played for the late Eddie Sutton, who's now in the Hall of Fame, going to be inducted this year into the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. And he had an immense amount of respect for Roy Williams. Like, you are not allowed to say a bad word about Coach Williams or Kansas basketball as long as you were in Stillwater at Oklahoma State. He believed he did the right way. He was a gentleman. His teams played hard. They played clean. He had, but 1998, they had Rafe LaFrance and Paul Pierce, 2 of the 5 best players in America. And they were playing us the last game of the regular season. And we had won the Big 12 South, but only played them once. And that was the last game of the year. And they had won the Big 12 North going away. They were the best team in the league. The North was softer than the South was, but they had won the league going away. So we played them the last game of the year. And I'll never forget, my coach walks in, and I'd never played against a Roy Williams team. But the reason I knew everything about Coach Williams was, if you grew up in Southern California, there was always a California kid on that team. On that team, there always was. You know, Scott Pollard, I think only 1 year in San Diego, but Scott Pollard and Paul Pierce and Adonis Jordan and you name Eric Chenoweth. What he is famous for, he was the best head coach recruiter in the country for a major university. Mike Krzyzewski wouldn't do this. Bob Knight wouldn't do it at the time. You know, Jim Herrick was, they were great recruiters, but not, he would, whatever he would do with his practice, I think they'd practice early, he'd get on a plane, he'd fly out, and whoever he was recruiting, he'd sit at midcourt for whoever he was recruiting and just sit there and watch and take notes. And so you knew he was there. I mean, he recruited you himself. And so I one summer I played with Paul Pierce, and who's he here for? He's here for Paul, and he got his guy. But so here's the one kind of flaw to it. I mean, they didn't really change much over the last 30 years. Like, the play calls, everything is almost the exact same. Couple little twists. But I'll never forget this. Eddie Sutton walked in. He goes, man, Kansas is coming in here tomorrow. They're better than you. 8, 10, 12. When they got LaFrance and Pierce, they're 8, 10, 12 points better than you. And we're like, this is not the motivational speech I thought we were getting. It's on ABC, right? Now, listen, here's the thing. I've been doing this a long time. The one thing about Coach Williams, we respect him a lot. He's going to take him out now at the same time. And when he does, we're better than him. Maybe only 4 points, but we're better than him. So the next day, and you can go track this. I didn't start because it was senior day, so my man Tommy Warner got a start. He wasn't very good. Then I came in, and I was all hyped up to play Kansas, and I wasn't very good. We get down like, you know, 12-2 to start the game, 14-2, call timeout. We're playing. We're down 8, 10, 12 points. All of a sudden, you see these two gazelles go trotting off the court together. And everybody on our team collectively looks at Coach Sutton like, this man is a god. He foresaw the future. How did he know? And you know what happened when those two superstar college players, future lottery picks, went off the court? We were actually probably a little bit better than them. So we lost by 4 points, I think. I think it was 4 points of the final. Here's the respect we had for Coach Williamson. My senior year, we beat them by 33 points. It was his worst loss ever at Kansas. I think at the time, he had one of his great years at Carolina. They had one stinker against Florida State. I think they lost by 34. But Coach Sutton had such respect for him that they were young. Heinrich and Collison were freshmen, and we were really good and really old, and we kicked the crap out of him. He was like, hey, slow down. I got to go up there next year and get a whooping from Roy, all right? But people ask me all the time, like, what was the best win you had in college? I was like, Kansas, easy. Kansas by 33 or 19 a week later, we beat the same team. Why? Because it was Kansas. They were the preeminent team in our league. They were coached by an incredible coach who ran an incredible system and had great players. Like, look, it was Carolina. We went to Carolina. They got Argyle. They got Jordan. They got Jordan Brand. They got the cool colors and the cool shoes. And they had a coach that let them play. Like, this, it is a wrap. And now it's a changing of the guard of an era in college basketball. What you should remember about Roy Williams, unbelievable, unbelievable, magnanimous personality, getting along with people in recruiting. Played a great and likable and fun style. Won another national championship, and lost one on a Chris Jenkins 3, right? But won another, and I think in 2012 when Kentucky won, people forget Kendall Marshall got hurt. I think Carolina would have won that one. The guy was unbelievable what he did. There are no perfect people. I don't think he was the greatest game coach in the world, but that doesn't a bad coach him make, right? That's how I understand. Sounds like bad English, but it's actually how it's supposed to go. It's like our own kind of dive into Shakespearean sort of thing. Anyway, who's the next head coach? Oh, good luck. Wes Miller's like the only Carolina guy in the pipeline who's kicking butt at UNC Greensboro. Maybe Hubert Davis, who's one of the kindest human beings on earth, who's been there for like a decade, but I don't know if he wants to be the next head coach. Or do they go out of the family? All right, we'll dive back in. Also, Chris Beard, the new head coach of Texas. Greg Tuohy, I think, very happy. You want to talk about a guy who did the old Drake start from the bottom. He was a coach in the ABA. When I was in the ABA, that was a league. McMurray, he's coached just about everywhere in Texas, and now he's the head coach at Texas. But coming up next, I'll tell you why I'm actually more concerned about Justin Fields than others. That's next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making us part of your day, thanks so much. Hustler Turf Equipment has the most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in the industry. And with over 1,000 dealers across the nation, there's a Hustler Turf dealer near you. Visit HustlerTurf.com. That's HustlerTurf.com. Dan Orlovsky, who's a friend and a former quarterback in the NFL, he was on one of those shows over there, and he said, I think he was on with Pat McAfee, and he said that people who knew Justin Fields, and he made sure to separate himself. This is not me reporting it. It's me reporting what other people told me was Justin Fields is a last guy in, first guy out sort of guy. Not his opinion, but what he's been told, right? That he is a, that there have been some questions about his work ethic. And then, of course, Orlovsky, look, he does this all the time where he goes and he provides film and says, hey, Justin Fields actually does go through his progressions. And he defends Justin Fields' work ethic, or at least his play, not knowing what really goes on in terms of his work ethic. So, look, here's the first thing that's going to happen. And I think it's already happened in some places where, because Justin Fields happens to be black, that if you're critical of him in any way, it's a, wow, there's racial connotations to his work ethic. No, there's not. No, there's not. This may make some of my friends and colleagues, and I know one gentleman who works with us who I like a great deal, but this is his default. And this will go to, like, no, it's not. How many times has Colin into this exact same mic called out the focus of Baker Mayfield? Is Baker white or black? Okay. Tim Tebow was not a smart quarterback who did not go through his progressions. There was a massive reach to draft him in the first round. Johnny Manziel, what derailed him? Now, look, there have been black quarterbacks that haven't been. Mike Vick, by his own admissions, wasn't a film study guy when he was in Philadelphia. He just wasn't. It's the most important position in the sport. The entire offense is designed around it. And, like, look, there were stories about this with Dwayne Haskins. And it irritated the coaching staff to a point where they set him free here before the year ever ended. Right? The nature of the position, you are the face of a franchise. And so all of this background stuff is valid, is accurate, is like you're establishing. It's why, it's the real reason why you need 3 years in college. Because 1 year in college, and most of these coaches can spot a fraud. They know which guys are really about it or not. But you can hide some of it. 3 years, can't hide from who you really are. You just can't. So, yeah, it can. When I see him run a 4-4 yesterday, and I watched him play in the national semifinal game, I'm like, this dude is legit. Why wouldn't he be right? Like, I'm looking at where the league is going. How, Kyle Shanahan, how could you possibly not go to his pro day, instead go to Mac Jones's pro day? And then I think back, and I think, okay, so Kyle Shanahan once upon a time was the offensive coordinator in Washington, and RG3 was his quarterback. And though RG3 was a rookie of the year and he got hurt, remember he got hurt? Well, we thought he was hurt anyway, and then he tore his ACL. But the big thing with RG3 was they couldn't play him in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Kyle Shanahan's offense has been successful with Matt Ryan, who doesn't have a great arm, right? Not a great athlete, but good enough and deadly accurate and smart as all get out, right? Kirk Cousins, Matt Schaub, right? So you try and evaluate not just based upon who's super talented, but whose talent fits what has led you to be successful in the past. And so it would stand to reason. Do I think the third pick for Mac Jones as opposed to for Justin Fields? Like, Justin Fields looks like what I would suspect a quarterback is supposed to look like for the next 20 years. He's young. He's crazy athletic. He's got a good arm. It's not like he's a convert to the position. Like, he was the number one recruit when he went to Georgia, and then he goes to Ohio State. And as soon as he got on the field at Ohio State, like, he was legit freak. What could possibly, like, this is good insight. But what we'll do is, it'll be the messenger. It'll be somebody who's hating. It'll be whatever. When this is all information that every one of these NFL teams has. And if it's not true, then they know, and they're going to draft him anyway. No team makes an evaluation based upon something that's said on TV. It just doesn't happen. You know, we were going to trade up, but then Orlovsky presented us with some information. Like, yeah, no. No matter how much, and I love Dan, and Dan's his football IQ, he's forgotten more about the position than I'll ever know. But those guys in those front offices, they've done their due diligence. And if there's some work ethic issues, oh, they know it. You know, Jimmy Haslam is literally the only guy listening to homeless people on the street. That landed him Johnny Manziel instead of a Teddy Bridgewater. How'd that work out for him? So I do have some concerns over Justin Fields' work ethic, because that has to be one of the primary explanations for why he wouldn't be viewed as an elite quarterback at the level of a Zach Wilson, or how a Matt Jones, who looks like just a dude athletically, could be placed ahead of him. Let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Ryan. Good to be back together again.
It's great to be with you. How are things?
Great.
Yeah, what an interesting day in the world of college basketball. So we're going to start there. You've mentioned this all morning, but for those who may have missed it and are just tuning in, Roy Williams, legendary head coach, has retired. So North Carolina is looking for their new head coach. Also, Texas, on the other side, they've found their new head coach, Chris Beard.
Texas alum.
He's won just about everywhere he's been.
And he's been a lot of different places.
Yeah.
He's great. He's quirky. He's a Pat Green guy as well. I mean, he just fits. And the Keep Austin Weird, you got Chris Beard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's in with that fame?
Nah, he's just, we're good friends. I enjoy him a great deal. I think he's an amazing basketball coach. As for Carolina, so the big question for Carolina is like, well, Carolina's a family thing, right? The Carolina basketball family. But they don't have a ton of guys in the coaching pipeline. Like, Jerry Stackhouse, I think, had it gone better at Vanderbilt, he'd have a shot. He won a G League title. He's a great player there. He's got his degree. You know, all these things. But it's been an abject disaster at Vandy. I just can't see them doing that. I could be wrong. Hubert Davis is one of those human beings that you're like, God, he's a better human being than I am. He really... He's a really, really good person. I just don't know if that's his life's mission and goal. Could he get the job? If Hubert Davis wants the job, he'll have the job.
Some guys don't want that, you know, everything that comes with being the head coach.
Right. Like, he was at ESPN at the time, and he left College Game Day to do it. And I was like, why would you do that? He's like, it's my school. Me and my wife, we love helping young people. We have people over at our house all the time for dinner. Like, this is just kind of my calling, to be around young people in Chapel Hill. And so I believe it. I don't. And honestly, that staff hasn't recruited particularly well the last couple of years. Some of it was the NCAA stuff, but some of it is just the lack of, they need some energy there. So, I mean, there's a guy named Wes Miller who started there as a walk-on, like first went to James Madison, then transferred, walked on at North Carolina, became a starter and a really good player. He's been an outstanding coach at UNC Greensboro. They went to the NCAA tournament this year. So that's the one kind of Carolina young coach, good looking, great hair. I know Colin's big on the hair. Haven't seen him wear his hat backwards. Like all these things, I could see him being the next head coach. But I need to keep in mind, North Carolina prides itself on Charlie Scott played there. Charlie Scott was the first black player in the history of the ACC. He was a great, great player. That they pride themselves on being very progressive and thinking a little bit outside the box. Wouldn't stun me if this was an outside the box. Like, they'll call Jay Wright, they'll call Brad Stevens, they'll get told no. And then who's next? I don't know the answer there.
Our resident Texan, Greg Toohey.
Hold on, Doug. We got to back up. You're dropping Pat Green references here with Chris Beard?
Yes.
How the heck do you know who Pat Green is? I saw him in college way back when, and many numerous times.
What are you talking
about? How do you know who Pat Green is?
Why wouldn't I know who Pat Green is?
Because he's like a local Texas guy. He grew up in California.
Do you know who Jerry Jeff Walker is?
Of course.
Okay, well, I mean, if we're going to do a Red Dirt Music...
I didn't know you were a Red Dirt Music fan, though.
Where did I go to school?
Ooh. Oklahoma State, that's fine. But, like, still, doesn't mean you're a country music fan.
Okay. Okay.
Doug's more of a Lil Baby and Da Baby.
I can't decide who between Lil and Da Baby, but I can also, you know,
backgrounds and play. You've lived everywhere. Like, I'm not surprised. Apparently, Greg.
I don't know.
Well,
my
favorite college band was called The Great Divide. They're a bunch of Stillwater guys. Red Dirt Music. We followed them around. You know, Mike McClure is an amazing talent. One of them has one of my jerseys, which is disturbing. I need to get that jersey back.
I don't doubt that you're a country music fan. I just was shocked to hear the first name you dropped was Pat Green. I haven't heard his
name. Well, look, if you've gone to school in that part of the country, you can answer this question, right? You don't have to call me darling. You don't have to call me darling. Tui, you don't know this?
Oh.
You don't have to call me darling.
Call me darling. Yeah.
What's the next line?
Darling.
And the next line?
No more.
No, you never even call me by my name. What do you got?
Oh, sorry, Tui. That's going to be an L for you. All right, let's go to the NBA here. It was Andre Drummond's debut last night for the Lakers. Surprise, surprise, Doug. He ended up leaving with an injury early in the third quarter. What happened? Well, apparently he lost his toenail. He got stepped on and the entire nail came off.
Now, have you ever lost a toenail? I know everybody freaked out because Andre Drummond, you're like, we just got Andre Drummond.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you buy a used Jaguar. Right? You buy a used Jaguar. You're like, man, I got this great deal on a used Jaguar. You drive off light, like, did you remember what that happened with me I rented a Maserati? This is a true story. So I go to get a Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is the Herd. Believe it or not, this is still the Herd. Okay. So my car had to get serviced. It's like, well, you know, you just go to such and such, rent a car, which is literally across the street, and it's on us. Don't worry about it. Okay, no problem. So I go, and the guy's like, do you want a Maserati? I was like, does it cost? Is it like an upgrade? Like, no, we got a Maserati. It's right there. It's white. Want to drive around? I was like, yes, yes, yes.
And I don't have to pay for it?
And I don't have to pay for it? Like, no, you just have to bring it back with a full tank of gas. Like, all right. Right? So I literally, like, open the moonroof. Driving down the freeway, pick up the kids, right? We're like, Dad, you got a Maserati? Like, for a couple days, I got a Maserati. Literally driving to work the next day, broke down. I was a SIG alert on the 101. It just stopped running. That's what I think Laker fans are like, did we just get a Maserati? We just got Andre Drummond, and now he's limping, takes his shoe off. We're like, oh, man. It was, I guess, only, he said the toenail came completely off.
Completely off,
yeah. Have you ever done that? You ever had the black and blue toenail that just looks disgusting and then falls off?
I've had that, but no, it's never like fully just completely fallen off.
It sounds incredibly painful.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine something. Because, yeah, to what you said, there's ones where you bruise it so bad that it eventually will sort of happen.
Yes.
But the idea that some type of, because he said he got stepped on, by Brooke Lopez, I believe it was.
All circles back to the Lopez's.
Yeah, right, exactly, of course. But to have just someone step on you so hard with so much force that the nail comes off completely just right then and there.
Yes.
It's crazy. But, wow.
I think I would rather break my pinky toe than lose my big toe toenail.
That sounds like I could believe
right?
that. Yeah.
I don't know, just a thought there.
Yeah, I've never really broken my pinky toe. So
I've broken a toe before.
How painful that is.
I've broken a toe before.
Okay. By the way, that was his first game since February 12th, since he was with the Cavaliers. LeBron has missed the last six games, and Anthony Davis has missed the last 20. So just put him on the list. And we'll finish up here with some NFL, Doug. AB or not to AB?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the question right now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. NFL Network's Mike Garofalo reported this morning that the Bucs and Antonio Brown have talked this week about bringing back the wide receiver who had a touchdown catch in the Super Bowl, but they are not close right now in terms of money. Garofalo also said they do want to bring him back. They're just different in terms of numbers right now.
Yeah, they want to bring him back to the minimum.
Just like right? that, how they got them.
Right. Like, no, we want to bring him back. Like, no, I came here at the minimum to show you that I can play. Like, we know you can play. The problem is you're like one chair-throwing incident from being out of the league.
Yeah.
I think his only leverage is, I'm guessing, Seattle. Like, did you see the money Seattle gave to Tyler Lockett yesterday?
Yeah.
You know what they're doing, right? It's called retail therapy. Right? They got issues with Russell Wilson. Like, don't worry, we'll buy you a new couch.
Right.
Right. We'll put up a new TV. All will be better. Retail therapy. I don't. Antonio Brown's issue is, like, once you play at the league minimum and you have those issues that trail you, it's hard for somebody to see you. It's like the guy who comes in the mailroom. You're like, I'm worth more than the mailroom. Like, yeah, but last year you worked for, you know, 17 an hour. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Now, look, most days, I Colin and I are philosophically aligned. Like, college basketball, no matter how long I've covered it, you know, it's a hard. I remember doing radio shows for one of the other networks from the sideline of the Final Four, and we were talking football in the Masters, like just national radio. It's not usually a big, there's not usually a big lead with college basketball stories, but between Indiana hiring a guy who's never coached in college, Roy Williams retiring, and Texas hiring Chris Beard, it does feel like this is a day where we got to kind of catch our balance. Why did Roy Williams retire? Beard to Texas, that sounds like a lot of cash. And this is an interesting year, right? Where no one knew if there's going to be a lot of movement. And now of the 10 biggest jobs, three of them have been open and two of them have been filled. Who's the next head coach of Carolina? We'll ask Jeff Goodman. He joins us upcoming next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you can get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. I cannot believe that my red dirt knowledge of Texas and Oklahoma music was questioned by Greg Tuohy. Greg Tuohy assumes that the only, like, that you have to walk in here with some boots or something in order to have some sort of Texas cred. Like,
Don't you have boots, don't you?
I have boots, of course.
Yeah.
I had boots before our sponsor got us boots, right? Like, I actually have Cowboy
Tecovas,
boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, before I got Tecovas, I had boots. Like, they weren't my first set. Yes, Rhyme Music.
Greg Tuohy, the only person who goes, oh, you spent several years at a university in the South and then like a couple of years of your early adult life and you know country music and own boots, somehow surprised by that.
I
think it was more of the Pat Green reference, the first one out of your mouth. Like that kind of shocked
Pat
me.
Green's kind of a big thing. I understand he's a big thing in Texas.
He was a big thing. He hasn't really been a big thing for about 10 or 15
Pat
years.
Pat Green called a has-been by Greg Tuohy. Can we put that one up on Twitter?
I think most people in Texas would agree with that.
Yeah,
Pat Green is
Greg Tuohy?
Pat Green is a has-been.
Look, we're on all over Texas, Doug, right now, and I know people who are listening would agree with me.
Would agree with you that Pat Green is a has-been?
He is a has-been, yes.
Wow. How old do you think Pat Green is?
I think he's close to early 50s, I think.
He's 48 years old.
Okay, I was not too far off.
Yeah. By the way, like, I'd be interested in Pat Green. I think he got his start in Lubbock, if I remember correctly.
He did, yes.
Right? And then, as most things, he moved on his way before he got to Nashville.
He was in Waco for a bit.
Waco. He hit all the spots.
We're killing the rest of our audience right now.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I don't think calling him a musician who's 48 a has-been. He wasn't a one-hit wonder either.
No, no. When I say has-been, I mean he hasn't really had a relevant music or new music in the last several years.
Last 5 years or so. That's fair. Not a has-been, right? There hasn't been a behind the music thing, you know, where the band broke apart. He had like massive drug use. One band member slept with another. Remember those behind the music?
Of course, yeah.
Do you know who started Behind the Music?
No, I do not.
Oh, Ryan Music. Do you want to tell him?
It's like the head of our company. iHeart.
Yeah.
Was it Bob Pittman? Right?
Bob Pittman. Yeah. Bob Pittman. So Bob Pittman, who runs iHeartMedia, okay, he was like guy responsible for those Behind the Music shows, which were amazing. Right? Like, and they're all the same. They started as a garage band, right? And then they hit it big. Somebody becomes a drug addict. Somebody gets married. You know, the drummer from Def Leppard had the accident where he loses the arm, like, right? And then they break apart. And then we're working on a comeback album. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't, like Behind the Music. Speaking of the comeback album, feels like that may be where we are with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? There's new reports that the Patriots have not given up on a Garoppolo deal, given up on it. Like I will credit the Niners with this. They're not even being coy about it at all. Like, yeah, I don't know, did you hear Kyle Shanahan's remarks? Like, yeah, he's probably not happy about it, but, you know, he thrives on competition. Yes, every quarterback would like another quarterback drafted number 3 in the draft while they're coming off of an injury. Every quarterback would and a Super Bowl prior to, like, the last time I was healthy at the end of the year, we led in the second half of the Super Bowl. We were a dominant team in the NFC. And you fast forward to how many months is it? 24, 26, 26 months later? 26 months later? No, 26 months, right? Like, when the Super Bowl was February of 2020. We're now in, what, March of 2021. So less than that. You're right. My bad. My bad. So 12, 15 months later, they're like, hey, listen, Jimmy, we're going to draft a quarterback at number 3 to ultimately replace you. This isn't drafting Jordan Love, who's a project. Like, Jordan Love's like 2 years away from being 2 years away. Okay, this isn't, hey, you know, you're in your late 30s, you're 37 years old, we're going to draft a quarterback, and by the time your contract kind of winds down, we'll have another guy ready, and look, if you're still good, we'll keep you. If not, we'll have this guy. Like, that's business. No. Jimmy Garoppolo is like 30. He's been healthy 1 year in San Francisco. That 1 year he's been healthy, they went to a Super Bowl. So, yeah, they're moving Jimmy Garoppolo. It's happening. And whereas previously you're like, well, maybe it could happen in Houston. Houston can't do anything right now. It's Tyrod Taylor. Houston's gone from, man, when are they going to blink and finally trade Deshaun to, they can't trade Deshaun Watson. The only team he could play for is the Texans, and even that ain't happening. So Houston is no longer really an option. This is like Behind the Music, right? Well, we were a great band, and then Brady and Garoppolo, and there's like a love triangle there in football terms with the owner and with Bill Belichick, and they broke up, and he joined a different band, and he went to the Super Bowl, and now we're going to get the band back together. Yeah, we're going to get a bunch of dudes. A bunch of Kyle Van Noy is going to come back, right? We're going to get Kyle Van Noy back. We still got Julian Edelman. You know, we got those guys outside of Patrick Chung who opted out last year. This is a behind the music. That's all this is. Right? Of course the Patriots still want Jimmy G. Like, did you think that they were, when they signed Cam Newton to a contract for $3.5 million, did you think they were really going to get away with paying a starting quarterback who can't throw a football? $3.5 million? Like, look, he's as a backup plan, he's obviously shown himself to be a guy who's willing to put the time in, willing to work. Like, the issues with Cam Newton is his arm is shot. Well, he didn't have preseason. He didn't throw for 100 yards in like three games, like 100 yards. Will he be better? Yes, absolutely. Will he be good? No, he's not good anymore. It's not the way it works. You don't have enough. Yes, I do. I have plenty of data. I have data that shows me from his time in Carolina, his arm was shot, and this time this year, his arm was shot. And Ron Rivera needed a quarterback the last 2 years. Everybody brings their guy along. You know who he didn't bring? Cam Newton. Why? Not because he doesn't like Cam Newton. His arm shot. It's over. All right. Check out How We Reach coaching tool. It's a free app you can download. Reach.gov. You'll find everyone takes steps everyone can take to prevent suicide. Coming up, Drew Lock is done in Denver. I can prove it to you next in The Herd.